Begin preaching a little series of messages that I've entitled The Doors to Blessing. We've discovered this truth, and that is that God really wants to bless His people. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs in chapter 10, verse 22, that it's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. And that those who are blessed by the Lord, who have the blessings of God on their life, are those who are truly wealthy. And they may not be the ones who have a lot of money in their pocket, but they are the ones who are truly rich, those who are blessed by the Lord. And the Bible says that His blessing, that He adds no sorrow with it. Some of those blessings we may be considered material blessings. God has promised to bless us materially if we'll seek first the kingdom of God. The Bible says that all these things will be added unto you. And also it may be relational blessings, that is, blessings on our marriages and blessings on our family, our relationships with other people here at church. And that is that God's blessings include our relational blessings. But more important than all of that are the spiritual blessings that God has given us and provided for us in Christ. God really wants to bless all of us. And the blessings, many of the blessings that God has provided for us, they have a door. In other words, the way to enter into and experience the fullness of those blessings is by stepping through the doors that God has set before us. And obviously, as we've already discovered from John 10, the first door is the door of salvation. And that is that you and I will not enjoy the blessings of God, even the material and relational blessings, only for a little while. But listen, unless you step through the door of salvation. And those who step through the door of salvation, they are the ones who are truly blessed of God. We've been given all spiritual blessings in Christ. And so the first door is the door of salvation. If you don't step through the door of salvation, then the temporary blessings of this life will fly by quickly, and a person will find themselves separated from God in a cursed place called hell for all eternity. And so the first door is the door of salvation. Those who've stepped through the door of salvation, who've received Christ, who know that they know Him, then the second door for those who know the Lord is the door of supplication. And that is the door of prayer. Getting alone with God in unrushed time, seeking God in prayer. Why, Jesus even said that if you'll knock, it shall be opened unto you, when He was speaking a prayer in Matthew's gospel. And Jeremiah told the Israelites of the Old Testament that if they would call out to the Lord, and that He would show them great and mighty things. And that is, if we'll just get to praying and seeking after God, that the Bible tells us that God will hear and God will answer and God does great and mighty things. Ladies and gentlemen, God does miraculous things, great and mighty things through the prayer lives of His people. If you want to be blessed as a child of God, if you want to walk in the fullness of God's blessings, then you got to learn how to walk with God in prayer. That is, bringing your needs to Him and seeking Him. That is the door of supplication. And then we begin to discover a third door this past Lord's Day, and that is, there's another door that you and I need to step through if we're going to experience the fullness of God's blessings in our lives. Now I'm speaking to those who know the Lord, who've already stepped through the door of salvation. And when you get through the door of salvation, you'll see that God has a door of supplication. He wants to teach you how to walk with Him in prayer. But you'll also see close by the door of supplication is the door of obedience. And that is that God wants you to learn how to obey Him. And that is, whatever God says to do, whatever the will of God is to do, that's what I'm going to do. And whatever God says not to do, that's what I'm not going to do. That is just being obedient to God. We discovered this past Lord's Day on Sunday morning what I call the demand for obedience. And that is, when we begin to look through the Old and New Testament, we discovered that God indeed demands for His people to obey Him. He demands obedience. And the reason why we discovered that He demanded obedience is so that He could bless His people. And just like a parent who wants their children to be blessed, so they teach them what is right and what is wrong. They teach them to obey those who are in authority. And the reason why is because you want them to live a life that is blessed. And so we teach them, and we teach them to obey. Children who don't learn how to obey, their life is going to be cursed. And that is, they're going to be struggling all of their life. And so we teach them to obey. Even so, God loves us more than our parents do. And He wants to bless us in ways that our parents can't bless us. And the reason why He teaches us to obey Him is so that we can indeed be blessed. That was true of the Israelites in the Old Testament. I gave you some verses this past Sunday where the Bible teaches in the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy. Moses taught them that, listen, their blessings from God depended on their obedience to Him. Joshua as well learned the same lesson, and that is that if he was going to prosper, according to Joshua chapter number 1, if he was going to experience good success, then he was going to have to pay attention to what God said and obey Him. Why, Isaiah said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, in Isaiah chapter number 1. In the New Testament, God's demand for obedience stands out to us, and Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter number 11, and James tells us that the man who's going to be blessed in his deeds is the man who continues in the perfect law of liberty and knows the law and does the law, does what God's Word says to do. That is, it is describing those who are obedient. And so we've discovered there's a demand for obedience in the Old and New Testament. We also spent some time this past Lord's Day just looking at what I call the demonstrations of obedience. And that is that all the way through the Bible, we see those men and women who are blessed of God were those who obeyed Him. All the way, beginning it with Noah in chapter number 6 of Genesis, who built the ark. God said, build it, he obeyed it, and all the blessings of saving humanity from the judgment of God. It may be Abraham that God said, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, I'll tell you where to go, and he obeyed God. And out of this obedience came a nation, that is Israel, out of which came our Lord, the Messiah. It might be Joshua, who just obeyed God. And when God said, walk around Jericho, he just obeyed what God said. Didn't make much sense, but he just obeyed what God said. And before long, the blessing came, and the walls came tumbling down. It may be Joseph, that is the husband of Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, when God showed up with the angel of the Lord and said, marry her. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Nothing like that had ever happened before or since, ladies and gentlemen. And it would be almost unbelievable. But listen, God revealed to him that indeed she was expecting the Messiah and that he was to marry her. And you know what he did? He just obeyed God. He obeyed God. And we talked about the apostles. When Jesus said, follow me, guess what they did? They followed Him. They left their nets, they left their boats, they left their jobs as tax collectors, and they began to follow Jesus. And we talked about Philip, remember him? And in the New Testament, the book of Acts, when God sent him down to that deserted area and left Samaria where there's great revival taking place and said, I want you to go down there to a deserted area where there's nobody, there's no population. And he just obeyed God, and there was just one man there. God had him leave a populated area to go speak to one man. But that man, ladies and gentlemen, got saved that day and took the gospel to the African continent, that is the Ethiopian eunuch. He just obeyed God. We talked about the obedience of the Apostle Paul. That is the obedience of Paul, following the will of God for his life. We talked about the obedience of our Lord Jesus himself, who is our example, that he obeyed God. So there are just demonstrations of obedience found throughout the Bible. And then we begin starting to look at what I call the direction toward obedience. And that is, this past Sunday night, I began to try to explain the steps that you and I need to take if we're going to walk in the direction of obedience. I want to remind you that when we're talking about obedience on our part, not our Lord, but when we're talking about obedience on our part, we are not talking about perfection. There's not anyone in this room, especially the one who's still standing, that is perfectly obedient. As a matter of fact, I see areas of disobedience in my life on a regular basis. So we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about direction. And that is that those who are really truly following the Lord Jesus, who have met Him and are following Him, who know Him, who've been born again and have Him living on the inside of them, are striving to follow Him, the direction of their life is towards obedience. And that is obeying God. And if you and I are going to walk in that direction, that is walking in the direction of obedience, then we got to take the right steps. We've got to go in the right direction by taking the right steps. You know, the best way to go in the wrong direction is just step in the wrong direction. Just take the wrong steps, and you'll be going in the wrong direction. Have you ever got turned around? You know, every once in a while, I'll get turned around, maybe in a hospital. I'll walk out of somebody's room, and I'll think, now, which way did I come down that hall to get there? Have y'all ever done that? And it's just an awkward moment, isn't it? When you walk out of that room, and you're thinking, where am I? Which way do I go? I forgot which way I came in. And finally, maybe after a moment or two, you kind of get your sense back and remember which way you came down that long hall, and you start going in the right direction, or you may start going in the wrong direction. The best way to go in the wrong direction is taking that step, just one step at a time, in the wrong direction. Have you ever done that? Gone in the wrong direction, and you look around and nothing looks familiar, and you wonder, where am I? If you want to go in the right direction when it comes to obedience, you got to take the right steps. This past Sunday night, I tried to share with you what I believe is the first step towards a walking in the direction of obedience, and that is listening to the voice of God. And that is, I tried to explain to you that you'll never be obedient unless you hear from God. That is, being obedient is not a matter of you making up what you think God wants you to do. You got to find out for sure. You got to hear from God. It's not just naming it and claiming it, as some would preach in our day, but it's hearing from God. You cannot believe God for something that God has not revealed. And so you and I got to listen to God. We got to hear what it is that God is saying. You cannot be obedient if you don't know what the will of God is. One of the things that I try to stress many times whenever I speak to our children's leaders, and that is that you got to have a set of rules or expectations for children. And then you got to communicate those expectations, that is, children can't follow your directions if they don't know what they are. And so you got to tell them what they are so that they can obey you. And sometimes you have to remind them because they're a little bit like their pastor and they forget sometimes what it is that they're supposed to be doing. And so you have to remind them and keep going over what it is they're supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing so that they remember. Well, I'm going to say to you that God is speaking loudly and is revealing to us what He expects. But you and I have got to be listening to His voice so that we'll know how to obey Him. And I mentioned to you a few things I think are important just for me to mention before we get to the next point. If you want to hear the voice of God, and by the way, Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep do hear My voice, and they follow Me." And you can hear the voice of God. You can know what God is saying to you by paying attention to the providence of God. God is working providentially in your life through circumstances. By getting close to the people of God, because God speaks through His people. And ladies and gentlemen, by reading and studying the Word of God, God speaks through His Word. And so you and I ought to read the Bible, study the Bible, and listen, we ought to be ready to hear the Bible every time it is taught. I would be afraid to miss out. Listen, if God puts you in a church, if He places you in a church, I'd be afraid to miss. And the reason why is because I'd be afraid that God was going to speak to me that service and I wasn't there to hear. So you and I ought to read the Bible, study the Bible. We ought to be listening to the Bible. And if we're going to hear what God is saying, we've got to read and study the Word of God. And then I said to you that we've got to yield to the Spirit of God. God speaks by His Spirit. He lives on the inside of you. The Spirit of God does. And He'll speak to you. He'll teach you all things, Jesus said in John's Gospel. He'll guide you into all truth. He is our leader, He is our guide, He is our teacher. And so if you and I are going to be able to obey God, then we need to learn how to listen to the Spirit of God. Now listen, that's going to take some practice. You can't see Him and you cannot hear Him speak audibly. So you've got to learn about the promptings of the Spirit. You've got to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit and when He is speaking. And you got to learn about the peace of the Spirit, that is, the peace of God, about what He wants you to do. God will give you, the Spirit of God can give you peace about the direction that the will of God is leading you into. You and I have got to hear from God if we're going to obey Him. And these are just some ways that we talked about more extensively this past Sunday night about how that we can hear and obey God. What I'm trying to help us to understand is that when it comes to walking in the direction of obedience, you better take the first step in the right direction. And the first step is listening to the voice of God. Listen to what God is saying. Now, when you've listened to what God is saying, the second step, now this isn't the first step. This is the second step. The first step, listening to the voice of God. But the second step is waiting on the timing of God. That is, if you and I are going to live a life of obedience to God, then we need to do the right things. We need to listen to what God has said and do what God is saying to do. But listen to me now, we've got to do it at the right time. We've got to do it at the right times. Listen, sometimes that means immediately. That is, sometimes the right time is right now. That is, it is immediately, but it's not always that way. That is, God's timing sometimes is not immediate. So that means sometimes, even though you're hearing what God is saying, sometimes you got to wait on the timing of God. Now listen, there's something to be said about waiting on God. When I think of waiting, I think of inactivity, but it's not pictured that way in the Scripture. That is, when it comes to waiting on God. When you and I are waiting on God, God is doing a work in that time of waiting. As a matter of fact, God is doing a work on the inside of us during that time of waiting, getting us ready to step through that door of obedience. We may not be quite ready to step through that door. There may be some areas of our life we need to grow in. There may be some things that we need to straighten out. There may be some areas of our life that need to be dealt with in our life so that we can step through that door of obedience. And so sometimes when we're waiting on God's timing, it is a time that God can do a work on the inside of us. There's so many examples of this. I think of David as an example, and that is one day a man named Samuel came to David's hometown, and all of his brothers passed before Samuel, and God had spoken to him and said that one of those boys was going to be a king. Remember that? And all of his brothers passed before Samuel, and God said, "It's not him. It's not him. It's not him." And finally, when all the brothers had passed before Samuel, finally Samuel said to Jesse, that's David's dad, "Surely you got one more. God said it was your son. It was one of your sons, and I've seen them all, and none of them, there's got to be one more." And of course, Jesse said, "Well, of course, there's David. He's the one taking care of the sheep, while all the other boys are up here trying to decide which one is going to be the king." So he went and got David, and I tell you, the Holy Ghost of God revealed to Samuel, there he is, there is the king, and he was anointed by Samuel as the king, as a boy, that day. But listen to me now, he had to wait on the timing of God. He did not become king immediately. It was years later, and listen, it was some hard times. Many years later, and difficult times, and that is that he had to escape the fury of King Saul during that time. And I tell you that all that time, as David was growing up, all that time that David was hiding from Saul and running from place to place, all that time, God was making a king. God was developing him. God was growing him. God was making him a warrior, ladies and gentlemen, during that time. And we'll try to look at an example of one of those instances a little bit later on. Do you know the early church had to wait on God? They had to wait on God. For example, flip over to Luke chapter number 24 and let me show you what I mean by that. In Luke chapter number 24, we find that after the resurrection, Jesus met with his disciples. And he revealed to them that it was him. He showed them his hands, and he showed them his feet, and he ate with them, revealing to them that he was bodily raised from the dead. And the Bible says in verse number 44 of Luke chapter number 24, it says, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day." He's just showing them from the Old Testament that everything that has happened with his death and resurrection has happened exactly the way God wanted it to. And then notice in verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Now, the promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit that God had revealed through John the Baptist and through our Lord himself. He said, "I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you." But listen now, "but tarry ye," and that little word tarry means wait. "Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." You got to wait. You're going to have to wait on me. Now listen, they heard from God. God had revealed to them what His will is, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to be filled with the power of God. But they've got to wait. You'll see it again in Acts chapter number 1. You know that the book of Luke and the book of Acts were written by the same person. That is, they were written by Luke. And they go together. Where one ends, the other picks up. And in Acts chapter number 1, in beginning of verse number 4, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them, Jesus did, that they should not, listen to this, not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In other words, the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about to be fulfilled in just a little while, but they're going to have to wait. He tells them in verse number 8 that when the Holy Spirit comes, they'll receive power, and then they'll be able to be His witnesses, empowered witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now listen, Jesus had already given them His commission, the Great Commission. So listen, they had heard the voice of God. He already said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He already said the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name beginning in Jerusalem. He already said that. You say, well, Pastor, why didn't they get at it then? Why didn't they just go do it right then? It wasn't the right time. Jesus said you got to wait until you are empowered by the Holy Spirit not many days into the future. You got to wait on God. But listen to me now. Their waiting was not wasted time. It was while they were waiting that, listen, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. I mean, God did a work in their lives. During that time of waiting, they replaced Judas Iscariot as one of the apostles. During that time of waiting, according to Acts chapter number 1, they learned how to pray in one accord. During that time of waiting, ladies and gentlemen, God was bringing together that little band, that little group of about 120, bringing them together, uniting them together. And ladies and gentlemen, finally the Holy Spirit came and empowered them. And then they were able to go out and preach the Word of God with great boldness and great power. You and I have got to learn how to wait on God. Listen to Psalm 27 and verse number 14. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't you love Isaiah 40? And verse number 31, it's a wonderful verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord. What I'm trying to get you to see is how to walk in the direction of obedience. The first step is listening to the voice of God. You got to be able to hear from God. You're not going to be able to obey Him if you're not hearing from Him. Secondly, you got to wait on the timing of God. And that is, you got to wait on the right time to step through that door of obedience. The third step is following the will of God. Following the will of God. That is, once God has spoken to us and we've waited on His timing, it's then time to do whatever He said to do. That is, when the timing is right, whatever that is, when God has spoken and the time is right, then it's time to follow the will of God. That is, don't wait any longer. Listen, you don't want to wait too long. You want to go, listen, when your timing is right, then it's time to obey. That is, to do the will of God. Of God, that's what Jesus did. Don't you love John 4:34 when Jesus had been talking to the Samaritan woman and the disciples came and from the city of Sychar, they'd bought some food in the city and they were offering the Lord some food to eat. And Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they were wondering who had brought Him food. And Jesus said in John 4 and verse 34, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Ladies and gentlemen, the will of God was the prime. Listen, that was the priority of our Lord. That is, just doing the will of the Father. That is, that's what motivated everything that He did. He didn't say anything except what was the will of the Father for Him to say. He didn't do anything except what was the will of the Father for Him to do. He obeyed the will of God perfectly. It was the focus of His life. It was the priority of his life. Jesus was more concerned about doing the will of the Father than eating a meal. I'll say that again. I can look at some of you and know you've been eating some meals. It's been a priority in your life. Right? I don't have to look too far. All I can do is look right here. But listen, the will of God was more important to Jesus than eating a meal. And you and I are followers of Him. And so therefore it just stands to reason that the will of God ought to be the priority of our life as well. You got to follow the will of God. Whatever the will of God is, that's what. Then you know now what direction to go in, don't you? You know what direction to step in. When you've heard the voice of God and He's spoken to you, and you know the timing is now, then now you know what direction to go in. You can step in that direction, and you're following the will of God. Let me just mention a couple of things that you need to do if you're going to follow the will of God. Number one, you got to start right where you're at. That is, all of us might need to look back to see where we failed in times and gotten off track. But while we may need to look back, you can't go back and change any of that. Sometimes you need to look back so you can say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you need to look back to remember to know the lesson that you ought to learn from that. But you cannot go back and change any of that. You just have to confess it all to God. Confess it to Him, get as right as you can with everybody that was involved, and then start right where you're at by getting back into the center of the will of God. You can't start back there. You got to start right where you are at. Remember Peter after he denied the Lord three times? Denied that he even knew Him three times on the night that Jesus was arrested and beaten. And remember that three times, I don't know Him, Peter said about our Lord. And then a little bit later on in John chapter number 21, after the resurrection, Jesus met with him after fixing breakfast along the seashore one morning. And he asked him, Peter, do you love me? He didn't ask him once. He didn't ask him twice. But he asked him three times. Now listen now, Peter cannot go back and undo what he did. He can't go back and undo the denials. If he's going to get back in the center of the will of God for his life, he's just got to start right where he is at. He's standing there with the Lord, and Jesus is saying, do you love me? Three times. And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And when he said, feed my sheep, he was saying to Peter, Peter, I'm not done with you. And that is that my plan for you and my purpose for you is to be a leader among my people, to feed my people. I want to use you. And listen, he was restored that day to the center of the will of God for his life. Listen, you got to start right where you are at. Listen, you may want to look back and remember the times that you have followed the will of God. You may not just, listen, some may look back and see their failures. But some of you may look back and you can remember the times when you was right in the center of the will of God for your life. I mean, you was right on target with God, but that's not where you're at today. And so just because God led you in a certain direction in the past, it doesn't mean, and we should understand this clearly, it does not mean that He's leading you in that direction today. So following the will of God means that I can't stay in the past. I can't go back and fix and change past failures, and I can't live on past successes or past times when I was obeying God. God wants you to start right where you're at. And that is, we know where He led us in the past, but where is God leading us today? We don't want to back up. We're on a journey, and we want to step forward. We don't want to go back. We want to go forward. So where is God leading me today? What is the will of God for me right now? If you know what the will of God is for you, then you ought to step in that direction. Let me give an example. This is a simple example, but I think it's an important one. If you know that it's the will of God for you to be spending a time alone with God in prayer, then don't just look back at the past and remember all that time when you hadn't been praying like you should. Just start right where you're at. Don't look back and say, well, I can remember a time 20 years ago when I was really close to God and walking with God. But that's not where you're at now. This is 20 years later. Start right where you're at. And what I mean is start praying now, today. Get alone with God and spend some time with Him. Listen, you'll never get to where you need to be if you don't start right where you are at. You never will. So I know where I need to be, then start right where you're at, stepping in that direction. That's how you follow the will of God. Not only do you have to start right where you're at, but you got to stay right where you need to be. Start where you're at and then stay where you need to be. Our tendency is not only to look back at what we've done in the past, but also to look around at what everybody else is doing. And then our tendency is to want to do what they're doing. The problem is it may not be what God wants you to be. That may not be where you need to be. You see, the will of God for your life may take you down a different path than other people are going. In other words, just because God is leading your friend in a certain direction doesn't mean that's God's direction for your life. You see, whenever Jesus was restoring Peter, when he was saying, Peter, do you love me? Those three times they were walking along. Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. In John 21, the Bible tells us towards the end of that chapter, beginning in about verse 20 or so, the Bible tells us there that as they're walking along, Peter's just got back on track with the Lord. Just got back in the center of the will of God for his life after having denied him. He's back on track with the Lord, and he turns around and he sees John. Yeah. And you know what he asked the Lord? He said, Lord, now what about this guy, John? What are you going to have him do? What about him? And I love what Jesus said. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. Jesus said, Peter, man, that's none of your business. It's none of your business what I'm going to have John do. You just follow me. And ladies and gentlemen, it's true for our life as well. And that as we get all distracted, and as we get our eyes looking around on what other people are doing, but that may not be the will of God for your life. You see, Peter not only looked back and remembered the denials, but he also looked around at others, at John, and the will of God for John's life. But that wasn't Peter's business. He just needed to stay focused on where he needed to be. Stay where you need to be. Where you need to be. Where God wants you. Doing what God wants you to do. God may use others in a different way. God may lead other people in a different direction. And most people have no idea what direction they're even going in because they don't know what God's saying anyway. So don't follow the crowd. Don't even follow your friends if you're not sure they've heard from God. You find out what God's saying to you. You start following the will of God. Start right where you're at. And then when you know you're in the will of God, you stay right where you need to be. That's the only way you're going to be able to follow the will of God for your life. What we're discovering is that we're going to have to walk, if we're going to walk in the direction of obedience, we got to start taking the right steps. And that is listening to the voice of God, waiting on the timing of God. And then once we know it's the right time, following the will of God. And then finally, trusting in the person of God. One of the amazing things about our Lord in His humanity is His faith in the Father. I'm amazed. One of the examples, of course, is in the garden when Jesus prayed, "Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done." He was trusting in the person of God. And when Peter was writing about the suffering of our Lord in 1 Peter chapter number 2, about how that even though he suffered, he didn't strike back, he didn't revile again, he said that he committed himself to him that judges righteously. In other words, he trusted in the direction and the will of the Father. And I believe that Jesus set a good example for us in that. And that is that I'm going to trust in God. And that's what it takes to follow Him. When you've listened to the voice of God, when you've been waiting on the timing of God, and now you're following the will of God. It's very possible that God may lead you in a direction that you've never gone before, to do things you've never done before, some of which may be completely out of your comfort zone. And many times God doesn't give us all the details about how it's going to turn out. Now that's what I like, don't you? I like it all laid out. And I like it in columns with lots of bullet points and outlines. And so if I had my request, I'd say, God, would you just lay it all out for me? Give me the details and lay it out, and I want to see how it's going to end up. That's what I want. But you know, God doesn't operate like that, don't you? Now, we see the big picture because we have the scriptures. But the details of our life and the direction he's going to lead us in, we don't have all the details, and we don't know how it's all going to turn out. And that can be really frightening. That can be frightening. And it is that fear that paralyzes us from walking in obedience to God. There have been many people, ladies and gentlemen, that have heard the voice of God. They've waited on the timing of God. And then they stepped right into the center of God's will, and they were met with difficulties and struggles, and fear paralyzed them, and that is as far as they've gone. Fear will paralyze you. And many times it's right there that we stop. You say, well, what kind of fear are you talking about? Well, we get afraid of what people are going to think. What are they going to think? We get afraid of the price we might have to pay. We become afraid of the battle we may have to face. We become afraid of the uncertainty of what might happen if I obey God. And so we stop right there, paralyzed by fear. But it may well be that that's not where you want to be in life. Some of you, maybe all of you, want to move forward in your walk of obedience. You don't want to stay where you're at, so you have to overcome fear. Everybody, listen to me, everybody who obeys God has to overcome fear. And the key to overcoming fear, ladies and gentlemen, is faith. Faith is what overcomes our fear and enables us to continue to walk and live a life of obedience to God. The kind of faith I'm talking about is trusting in the person of God. Trusting in Him. In other words, I may not know where all of the will of God is going to be leading, but God knows where it's leading. He knows. You see, in His person, He is omniscient. He knows everything. So I don't have to know. I can just trust Him. If God says go in that direction, I don't have to know everything about it because He knows everything. And so I can just, by faith, just trust in His person and just step in the direction that He is leading. Listen, I may not have the ability to do what the will of God is for me to do, but God has the ability. And the reason why is because He's not only omniscient, but He's omnipotent in His person. That means that He is all-powerful. There's not anything that God can't do. So you know what I can do? I can trust Him. I can just, if God's leading in that direction, and I see all of my inadequacies, and fear of failure overcomes me on the inside, I'll be paralyzed right there. But instead, I can go ahead by faith in the person of God, in the omnipotence of God, knowing that while I'm weak and can't do it, God is strong and not a problem for the God who created the world. Listen, He can do it, and so I'm going to step out by faith, trusting in the person of God. Listen now, if the all-seeing and all-knowing God, if the all-powerful God is leading us, we can trust Him. Listen, you can't see into the future. You say, well, I don't know, I'm afraid, I don't know how it's all going to turn out. God knows how it's going to turn out. And the reason why is because He's omnipresent in His person. He's everywhere at all times, at all time. God knows everything about the future. Listen, everywhere His will leads us, He's already been there because He's an eternal God. Listen, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. If the all-seeing, all-knowing God, the all-powerful God is leading you, you can trust Him and follow Him. And that kind of faith is necessary to walking in obedience to God. Let me give you a couple of examples and then I'll be finished. And that is the continuing the story of David. Samuel comes and he anoints David and he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, anointed. But it's many, many years later before he becomes king. But during those years, God did some remarkable things through this guy named David. He's just a little fella. He's just a young man. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not anything super other than he has been anointed and has a supernatural experience with God. And if you read in 1 Samuel 17, you remember the story about this great big guy named Goliath. I'm going to abbreviate the story for the sake of time, but just remind you that Goliath stepped out onto the battlefield, the Philistine warrior named Goliath, against the Israelites. And that is, the Israelites are over here on one hill, and the Philistines are over here on the other hill, and there's a valley in between them where they're going to do battle. And they're kind of just positioned against each other for a while. And Goliath steps down into the valley, and he is a huge man. And he's got his armor bearer, and he's got his huge sword and his armor. And ladies and gentlemen, he steps down into that valley, and he says that if there's any man among you that can come down and fight with me, let him come and fight with me. And whoever wins, if we win, you'll be our servants. If you win, we will be your servants. Just two men battling down there on behalf of both of those great armies and those great nations. And do you know what the Bible says about the Israelite soldiers and King Saul? The Bible says that they were hidden away in their tents. They were afraid. And you know what they were? They were paralyzed by their fear. Now, the will of God is for the Israelites to defeat the Philistines, but nobody's listening to the voice of God. They're not hearing from God, even the king himself. But finally, here comes little David. And he's come to check on his brothers. Daddy sent him, and he finds out what's going on there on the battlefield. And he begins to speak words of faith. He begins to talk about the great God of Israel, and that this unbelieving, uncircumcised Philistine had no business saying these things about the God of Israel. What's wrong with you guys? Why isn't somebody battling against this great giant and defeating him? And David volunteers, all these great soldiers, and David, this young man, volunteers to go. And so somebody finally gets him to King Saul, and King Saul, after a period of time, allows him to go down into that valley to battle against Goliath. And when he stepped down into that valley, that great giant, Goliath, began to intimidate him and laugh at him and mock him. And David said, "Listen, I'm coming against you in the name of the God of Israel." And with words of faith, he spoke to him and said to him that he's going to kill him that day and take his head off of his shoulders. And listen, all he had was his little slingshot and his little five stones, and he shot one of those little stones, hit him right in the forehead, you remember, and he fell down dead. He pulled out the sword, the great big sword of Goliath, because he didn't have one, and he cut his head off and carried that head around for a little while. Sure. One of the greatest victories happened that day. What a blessing. And the blessing came because one man obeyed God. Instead of standing there paralyzed in fear, he stepped out by faith. And his faith didn't rest in the army behind him. It didn't rest in the king over him. His faith did not rest in his own ability. His faith rested in the person of God. And he stepped out by faith and won the battle. The second illustration I'll use in closing is the Israelites, when they reached Kadesh Barnea. They traveled, and the will of God, following the will of God, they left Egypt. And remember, they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And they went to Mount Sinai, and God spoke to them with thunder and lightning and smoke on Mount Sinai and gave them the law. Man, they had the word of God. They were hearing from God. And now the right time has come. They've been waiting on the timing of God, and the time has come. 12 spies have gone into the land, and they have come back, and they have talked about how wonderful the land is and all the fruit of the land. But then there were 10 of them that said, "There are giants in the land, and we are not able to overcome them." Those 10 were afraid, and they got the Israelites afraid, and they took a vote and decided not to go into the land. Now listen to me now. The will of God is clear, and that is, they're to take the land. The timing of God is now. Joshua said, "Let us go up now and take the land." But Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who trusted God. The rest of them were paralyzed with fear. The voice of God had spoken. The timing of God was right. The will of God was to take the land. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where they stopped. That's as far as they got. And they did not obey God. And they missed out on the blessing. That generation, with the exception, of course, of the small children, but that generation of men did not get to see the promised land. They missed out on the blessing. And here's the reason why they wouldn't obey God. And the reason why they wouldn't obey God is because instead of stepping out by faith, they stood paralyzed by fear. Those who are going to be blessed have to step through the door of obedience. And if you're going to walk in obedience to God, you've got to take the right steps. The steps are listening to the voice of God, waiting on the timing of God, following the will of God, and trusting in the person of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your people, and what you're trying to say to us and the work you're doing in us. And Father, I pray that you teach us how to walk in obedience to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.